Andy, if you'd like to take your seats and stop your chatting. It's lovely to hear you all. It's really lovely. Awesome. Welcome, everybody. It's lovely to have you all here. Welcome back. I know you've been on your wanderings. Where's Tim? I can't see him. There. Welcome back. I know you've been wandering. It's lovely to have you. Okay, let's just pray and then we'll light the Advent candle. Father God, we thank you that you're here with us this morning. We thank you that we have opportunity to worship you safely together. Lord, we place this service and ourselves into your hands this morning. Do with us as you will, to your glory, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, can I invite Julie and Bethany?
Good morning. So our Advent reading this morning is from John 3:16 to verse 19. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world.
So let's move on to our notices. I couldn't find the word notices then. Come up, Carol.
Morning, everybody. Good as normal to see everybody here with us, and of course those who are watching us on YouTube. It's just really lovely to be together on the Lord's Day and sharing his blessings and everything that he has in store for us this morning. Whoops, it's a bit breezy here. I'm going to keep my hand on my notices, otherwise they're going to be all over the place. I just want to say a personal thank you to everybody for making the coffee morning yesterday such a success. It was really lovely. Thank you to all those who helped in any way, but of course thank you to everyone who came as well and supported it, because if people don't come to these events we end up going home a bit fed up, don't we? And it was really lovely, so thank you everybody for coming yesterday. Just like to mention about this lovely little prayer corner that we have, and I think it was mentioned last week, but just in case anyone doesn't know, it's something we've been doing for quite a while in our church, and it's for people to write messages. There's a lovely little basket there with cards in, to write messages or prayers for people that we won't see over the Christmas holiday. That was last year. I didn't see hardly anybody, but there will still be people this year who we won't be seeing for all sorts of reasons. So if you'd like to write a little prayer on there and leave it in and hang it on the tree, that's something that we can look at and pray about in the next few weeks. Copies of the newsletter are out. I'm sure you'll see them as you came in. They're at the back of the church. And we also have a leaflet now, very professionally done, very nice. Quite a lot of information about what's going to be happening in the next few weeks. So please take them, give them to family, friends. There's quite a lot up there. And of course, the newsletter is also on the website, and the updates will be coming out as normal tomorrow. So just a reminder that the ladies are meeting tomorrow at an earlier time of 1 o'clock. They're having a little bit of a party, I think. So that's down here at church tomorrow. We are raising funds for Food Bank. We've mentioned it the last few weeks. We still have the box down here. This will be the last day to donate food. We also have a donation box for any money, but also as well the Christmas card at the back of the church. If anyone wishes to donate for that, then that will go to the Food Bank. But that will have to go a bit later. But we're hoping to take all the stuff tomorrow. David's going to go around there. So please, if you've got anything, please make sure you pop it in the box before you leave. The meal at the Phoenix, just to keep mentioning that, there's quite a few people already signed up. Thank you for that. In case you've not quite shoved the date, it's Monday the 9th of January at 1:30, and there will be... What did I say? Sorry. Did I? And it does say Sunday here. So I keep telling you, I have no idea what day it is most of the time. Sorry, Sunday the 9th. Glad you were listening there. 1:30, two courses for £12. Please pop your name on the list as soon as you can. We have a time, well, we had a time, but we have a place for the crib blessing now. This is on this coming Wednesday, the 8th of December at 6 o'clock, and it's up at Birdcage Walk, that at Aston. You know, as you come down off the motorway from the A57 and you just drive around that corner and you see the criblet, it's just so lovely. So that is where the blessing is going to be. That's this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock. I had a late notice given to me yesterday. It's about the carol, well, the choir service. Swanless United Church's choir, an evening of joy at Christmas. That's next Thursday, the 16th of December. No, it isn't not next. I hope my little talk's going to go a bit better than this. Thursday the 16th of December at 7:30 at the Central Methodist. That's all the details that we have on here. But if you want to contact anyone to find out anything more, I'll try and remember to do that again next week. Please do get in touch if anyone needs anything help. Anyone needs any help this next coming week, of course, always. There's always someone around if you need anything. Because I went to the pantomime last night, I'm still a bit excited. Not quite. I didn't sleep very well either, funnily enough. Right. So here we are, the second Sunday in Advent and 20 days to Christmas Day. I bet you all know that. How does that make us feel? Super excited. I know Olivia's very excited, or super stressed. Christmas can be really very stressful, can't it? And it's usually because, especially at this particular time of the year, we want everything to be perfect, don't we? But really, that's not very realistic. Lots of lovely Christmas adverts around on the television at the moment. Some we like, some we don't. But one caught my attention recently. And what they were saying basically was to just stop trying to make everything about Christmas perfect and just enjoy it, which I think is very good advice. So, how are we all this morning? Is anyone feeling stressed? You don't have to put your hand up. I think the one or two of us are. Not just about Christmas. I only mention that because it is a particular time of year when we do tend to get a little bit upset about things, but about everything. And stress is something that we hear a lot about these days, and it affects us all in some way at some point in our lives, I'm sure, and some of us more than others. But apparently the right amount of stress is good for us. It tunes up the brain and improves performance and health. But of course, too much is bad for us and can cause anxiety and poor health. Sometimes we stress and we don't even realise it. Well, the UCB word for today, which is what I use for my Bible notes, has a list of 10 questions for us to answer, honestly, on the subject. Now, it's not a hands-up exercise, this. It's just something just to think about, just to bear in mind. So, here are the 10 things. Are you sometimes grumpy without knowing why? Well done for admitting that. Do you work hard but feel unappreciated? Do you feel guilty and unproductive when relaxing? Do you increasingly find yourself shouting to make yourself heard instead of speaking calmly? Do you remember the last time you laughed until you cried? Are you exhausted after a day off because of all the jobs that you had to do? Do you tend to eat more when you're tense or overwhelmed? Are you constantly on the defensive? Do you suffer from unexplained headaches or stomach aches? Does your list to do have footnotes? So, how did you do? Did you recognise any of the symptoms? But these symptoms of stress don't appear overnight, do they? When a computer starts freezing up, it's time to turn it off and reboot it. And if a warning light appears on the dashboard of the car, we'd be really silly to ignore it, wouldn't we? When a clock starts losing time, it's time to charge the batteries, to change the batteries or recharge them. The fact is, if we continue to ignore the warning signs, stress can take its toll on our health. So how do we go about dealing with it? There are quite a lot of ways out there, aren't there, that tell us how we can relieve stress. But there's a story in Exodus 33 about someone who was stressing about a situation. I think it's been mentioned actually a few weeks ago, and it was Moses. He'd been told by God to lead his people to the promised land. And in verse 12, we find him having a conversation with him. Moses said to the Lord, "I know that you've told me to lead these people to the land you promised them, but you have not told me who my assistant will be. You said that you are my friend and that you're pleased with me, but if this is true, let me know what your plans are. Then I can obey and please you." Moses was stressing big time there, wasn't he? I'm sure that sounds familiar to many of us. But then the Lord replies with these wonderful words. In verse 14, "I will go with you and give you peace." And in my own little world, what he's actually saying is, "Calm down, Moses, chill out and trust me." Excellent advice, not always easy to follow, but it's worth a try, isn't it? Thanks for listening. God bless.
Thank you, Carol. Brilliant, as always. Kids are going to go out, all two or three of them. Are you going out or are you staying in?
No,
going out? Excellent. Before you go, let's just pray for them. Father God, we just give you thanks for our children. We thank you for the gift of them. Lord, may you just deepen their relationship with you in their hearts, Lord. May you be real and tangible to them, Lord. And we pray also for the junior church leaders. We thank you for them, for their gifts, for their skills, Lord, and their dedication in leading and teaching your children. So, Father God, I pray this morning that they have an amazing time with you. We just ask this now in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, on you go out, and as they do, turn to your neighbour next to you and say hello if you've not already done so. You coming up? Well, that's enough of that. You've said hello to each other. We can have time afterwards for tea and cake, as they say. But as we're continuing in our series of Christ in the Carols, we come this week to a carol that I particularly like, and I'm sure many others do. Very famous. Love a bit of controversy because it has that within it also. But O Holy Night. No doubt many of you have heard the delights of this beautiful tune at this time of Christmas, be it by a soprano or a tenor, whichever way. Just as we come to hear what God is saying to us today through this carol and through his word, let us pray that, Father God, may our hearts be receptive to your Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, come and breathe afresh amongst us, Lord. Help us to open our hearts, our minds and our ears to receive you this morning in ways that we may not even imagine, in the encounters that would just blow our minds away. Lord, come and be here this morning with us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we said, we're in this series looking at Christ in the carols, and I don't think we've got to look very far in this carol to see Christ there at all. For the first verse, if we look at the second line, it is the night of the dear Saviour's birth. This dear Saviour that we talk of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Here in this carol, it is very clear to see we talk of Christ and Christ alone, for he is worthy. But what do we know about the origin of this song? As I said, it has a tinge of controversy in it. If we go back to 1843, we find that it was the song, it was composed by a French poet, Placide Capot. And I read an article on this the other week, and it shared this beautiful meaning behind the song and how it came into existence, how it came to write the lyrics, and how God can use literally anybody. Because here in this, we have a Jewish musician and a man who walks away from his faith and yet still able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And so what we find here is that we have this song which stirred controversy in the church because Placide was swayed by some socialist propaganda and ended up walking away from his faith. But it was at this time when the church in France asked him to pen a poem for the parish mass at Christmas. And Placide Capot thought about the birth of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And we heard part of that last week. We heard part of that in a song this morning. And this poem that Placide wrote, he enlisted the help of his Jewish friend, Adolf Charles Adams, to aid the composition of the music. And the song originally was called Cantique de Noël. And although it was well received in France, later, as I said, as Capot was swayed by socialist propaganda and walked away from his faith, the church in France condemned the hymn and banned it completely. But yet somehow in some way, and maybe this was God, the lyrics made its way across, as did the music, across the seas to America, through the abolitionist John Sullivan Dwight. And around in 1855, he translated it into English and changed some of the lyrics slightly. Dwight particularly identified the third verse, which spoke about the breaking and ending of chains of slavery and seeing every man as our brother. And by all accounts, the song's notoriety spread worldwide, rumoured even to have been sung on Christmas Eve during the Franco-Prussian War. And so this is how this song came into existence. And as we said earlier, we can clearly see Christ in and through all of this. You can also see how it had a great impact on people's lives, not only as those who wrote it, but those whose lives it has touched through the lyrics. For some of us, it may hold special meanings. Maybe we've heard a favourite singer sing, and as it goes into some of those high, long notes, tugs at the heartstrings and speaks into our hearts. But yet here, there's a deeper understanding. Here, what we see is redemption and salvation written all over this. Even from way back in 1843, where God was speaking in and through Placide. As he heard scripture, it speaks of that redemption and salvation, of that night that Christ was born. This Christ that we speak of, Jesus, the incarnation. Here, this central Christian doctrine that God became flesh. God became flesh. That God assumed a human nature and became man in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that part of the Trinity. Christ is truly God, is truly man. Let's just pause and try and get our heads around that for a moment, if we may. That God chose to do this, to come here on this earth that we know, as fully God and yet still fully human, in the form of a helpless babe. And as we try and get our heads around that, we may ask why God became incarnate. Well, there may be three reasons for that. We have an omnipotent God who chose to become incarnate. He chose to become human as well as divine. He came because he wanted to identify with our suffering. And thirdly, I guess, because to reveal to us a moral and theological way of living and understanding these truths that we can live by. And yet, as that song reflects scripture, and as we heard last week, as Rob read, and so we do, and if your Bible's there, turn to Luke chapter 2. You'll find it on page 855. We find there in Luke chapter 2, and from verse 4 on, it says, "So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And you know that as it goes on, as Rob spoke of last week, whilst the shepherds were washing their socks, the angel appeared to them and glory shone around and spoke of that great night of how the Lord was born in the manger. As an aside, I don't think that's an accident. We hear of that story of the nativity, rat-a-tat-tat, the little donkey and all the rest of it, and there's no room and no. And yet, Jesus is found to be laid in a manger. Scripture recalls of that. God speaks of that, of where he came to be. And it's no accident, because if you look at the geographical facts and the location of where this happened, many people say that in Bethlehem, of where this happened, is the centre of the world. And in a manger, which is a feeding trough in a stable, is generally placed in the centre of that stable, to where the animals will come and feed. And yet here, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself is placed in the centre for where all will come and where all can feed and have everlasting life, even though we come and celebrate the birth of a helpless babe. It's no accident, I believe, of where he has come, because as Jesus himself testifies later on in his ministry, as we find, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever comes and believes in me will never be thirsty." So there's no accident that he's laid where he's laid. And it's no accident, I guess, as Placide came and penned this poem and put it to the lyrics with his friend Adolf. And so we have "O Holy Night" that reminds us of Jesus, holy Jesus, born in a manger, came to feed the world in power and in truth, that God is with us in this way. And through his humble beginnings, if you like, we're reminded that through mankind, through his example, that love, that as that song says there, those lyrics, as we fall upon our knees and worship in awe of him, we can again recall the true meaning, if you like, of Christmas. Again, the Apostle John writes of this, where he recalls this great truth in the gospel, as he wrote in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And this truth, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. This is the one who comes to us. This is the one who we're able to focus upon. This is the one that we're reminded of in this song, the birth of Jesus, underneath bright shining stars, the same stars that pointed to the Saviour of the world on that beautiful holy night. The same stars, and by the same way that God spoke into the prophets, if you look at Micah chapter 5. In verse 2 he says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." This is no accident. This was foretold thousands of years before, because as is fulfilled in the New Testament, as John wrote, the Word became flesh. And you, as you know, can go right to the very beginning of our Bibles and look at Genesis. And right there, the Trinity is in perfect relationship before the world is even created. There is Father, there is Son, and there is Holy Spirit together. And yet here now comes Jesus to this earth and to us to show us the way so that we're able to feed and to be changed radically. And yet, we see in this few verses, if you like, a clear picture of how Jesus came to be with humanity and how he'll radically change our lives if we let him. Nobody's going to force us to do that. Nobody should force us to do that. Yes, we can journey along with people, and rightly so, we should. We're all called to do that. And yes, we can share testimony. And yes, we can point to the one who will change our lives. But it's never forced. Jesus never came and forced himself upon anybody, but yet journeyed with them and gently reminded them of the right way to be and the right way to live. And yet most of us sit here with glorious testimonies. All testimonies are glorious of how Jesus came into our lives. Let's not doubt that. But yet there's maybe some of us here or at home watching where we're yet to do that. Where there's sometimes experiences in our lives that we just cannot explain why they've happened, but yet we've sensed something or someone there and maybe not understood that. Crikey, I can share testimony when that's happened to me, when I've been wrestling inside and tied up in knots, not wanting to acknowledge what's going on, but yet as I look back, I've been in no doubt that the Holy Spirit has been wrestling within. Even though I've not come to faith and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, that's the only way that I can look at it. That there's been those times of in Bosnia going over landmines, or in Bosnia just outside of Basra in bloodiest fear battles. And yet there's been a wrestling within of danger and of fear and of being scared, witless. But then an overwhelming sense of peace. As I said in Iraq, as that dark cloud ascended from out of nowhere and then disappeared as quick as it came. And yet I was left with a peace, even despite all around falling apart. Because God was there. Because God came down in the form of Jesus. And as we know, that story I know we're recounting of Advent, but as we go on, as we know, as Jesus was crucified and ascended back to his right place at the right hand in glory of the throne of the Father, he left us with the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within, to be our guide and our counselor, to comfort us, but also to disturb us from time to time, to make us think, to make us look, and to make us listen, and then see how receptive we are as to whether we take that truth and receive from him. This song rightly declares that he is the King of Kings who lays thus in lonely manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need because to our weakness he is no stranger. And there is no wrong with being weak or showing weakness. Because as Paul rightly says in Romans, when I am weak, I am strong. Because Christ is within, and I live for Christ, and Christ lives for me. He knows our needs. And that song towards the end of those verses, behold your King. Would you do that right now? What does that mean to you today as we come and as we worship and as we gather? Or are our thoughts on cakes and tea afterwards and chit-chat? Or should it be more importantly laid upon who our King is? Do you know him? Do you know this King that we speak of today, that we sing of week in, week out? That we look upon a cross of where he was crucified. What does that actually mean to us? What does it mean to you individually? Is it something we just do? We just rock up and, yeah, we'll sing if we want to, or we'll take part in communion if we want, we'll have a bit of chit-chat. Are we more bothered about the mundane things of life? Or are we fully committed to who Christ is and what he does for us in our lives and what he calls us to do to extend that out to the people that are out there? Or that are maybe sat in here or watching at home because you don't yet fully know who he is to you, your Lord and your Saviour. This isn't games we play. This isn't something we just pussyfoot around with and lightly acknowledge. As the song says, as scripture says, there's consequences here. Just don't get me wrong, this isn't about hell and damnation. I'm not banging on the lectern about that. But it means something. It's got to mean something. Because if it's not, then it's futile. You're wasting your time. Because if Christ isn't first and foremost in your life, then ask yourself what is. Where does that then leave you? The clock is ticking. But come and behold your King. John says this, the Apostle John, behold the Lamb of God who comes and takes away the sins of the world. And we'll repeat that. And in a weird, macabre sense, we'll celebrate that in a few months' time at Easter of Good Friday, where we see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, crucified upon the cross. And be thankful that he was, in a weird, macabre way. Because in the power of the resurrection, when he is raised to life 3 days after, brings all of this truth together. Because again, you're wasting your time if not. So in this moment, would you behold your King? What does that mean for you? As I said a moment ago, do you even know who he is? What does it mean to you when we say Jesus Christ? Oh, that's just some dude in some book a few thousand years ago. Don't mean much to me, just a story. Or when we mention that, does it pull at your heart and recount memories of where your life was transformed and radically changed? And do we see a difference? Do we see someone who we're able to come to and who we're able to look upon and see that is at our hearts, not only today, but every day? On this new day, this new week, have you experienced the thrill and the hope of rejoicing, even though we find ourselves in a weary world? Again, no accident of how Carol brought us her word that God laid upon her heart this week. To see the things in this weary world that pull us down, that stress us out. But that we're able to turn that around and come to the one who is able to give us peace and hope and joy, even though everything else may be falling apart or becoming worse for us. Wake up and see the difference here. It's not when and if and how, but who. It's Jesus Christ that makes that difference. It's the one that we look at. The one that we need to draw closer to. And as we do, he draws closer to us. And maybe you may want to recommit in that relationship this morning. Maybe you want to give your life for the first time to Jesus. As that song says, those chains are broken. Because his law is love and his grace is peace. And in that moment and in those lines of those lyrics, we see salvation is here. Salvation has come. Open your hearts and your minds and your ears to hear and receive these words. And receive the love and the peace and the salvation of Jesus Christ this morning. What does that mean for you? Where chains he shall break. For the slave is our brother. In his name all opposition and oppression shall cease. Does that mean something to you this morning? Is there something or someone stopping you from receiving Christ in your hearts? To recommit into that relationship? To what it fully means to follow Christ? To not be inward looking, inward focused, or part of a club that just meets every now and then and has a light-hearted touch and a go at stuff. But to be fully immersed and saturated in His love and be guided and be taken to places we may never even imagine of going, to people we would never imagine of journeying alongside. And thus there, passing and showing who Jesus Christ is to you and who Jesus Christ is for them. And seeing Him come and His extension of His kingdom here upon earth. I think we pray at this point. I think we pray, and as we feel led, if there's a word that God's laying upon someone's heart, then let it be spoken. If there's someone that wants to give their life to Christ, then so shall it be. Because here is a time and an opportunity to do that. And our hearts may be racing and pounding because we may be nervous or scared. But as the angel said, as God says, as Jesus says numerous times, do not be afraid. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, as we just pause at this moment, although we often say, Lord, but with full meaning, would you just open our eyes to see you? Would you open our ears to hear you? And would you open our hearts to receive you? Lord, for those of us that know you, be it recently or maybe of long ago, Lord, may we take this opportunity to recommit ourselves to you in that relationship. Lord, remind us and strike us in our hearts for what it means to worship you and to follow you, to be known as disciples and followers of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remind us of that time when we asked you into our lives, of that transformation. Help us to see clearly, Lord. Help us to put aside those things that we may do or say that hinder us. And may we speak with assurance and confidence, Lord, that you will break those chains that enslave and entrap us. And maybe for those that want to give their life to you, Lord, this morning, if that's someone here this morning, or watching back, then simply open yourselves to allow Christ to come in. Allow the Holy Spirit room within you to enable to intercede and to speak into your life these words and these truths. And simply pray, Lord Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you to come into my life this day. I turn my back on all the wrongdoings. I turn my back on all the things that have kept me from you. Lord, forgive me for the things that I have done. Reveal to me those things that are stopping me from coming to you so that I may change But Lord, the greatest thing of all that we ask this morning is that you come into the hearts of those that call upon you. Lord, come and have your way amongst your people. Holy Spirit, would you just guide and counsel these people, we pray. Lord, would you pour out your love and your grace and your mercy this morning? Speak your truth and your wisdom to your people, we pray. Lord, we long to hear your voice. We ask in your name and we declare that all oppression shall cease, that every chain be broken and every tear wiped. For we long to receive you today, whether that's for the first time of a commitment or to renew our relationship with you. We simply pray, come, Lord Jesus, set all your people free. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are our Lord and Saviour. To you we pray. To sweet hymns of joy and in grateful chorus we raise. Let all within us praise your holy name. For Christ is the Lord. Then ever, ever praise we. Amen. Whatever you've chosen this morning, be it to recommit, be it to come to him for the first time, come and speak to us afterwards. Come and speak to any of the leaders or any brothers and sisters here this morning. It doesn't necessarily have to be us. We're all in this together. We all share together. Come and pray with one another and for each other. Don't leave this morning without talking to someone if it struck your heart, if you're left with questions. If you're left with doubts, come and speak. Lord, as we continue in our time of worship this morning, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good and gracious God that would speak with us in ways that we would understand. Lord, show us how to live in the right and correct way. That is worthy of you. Lord, that is in a way that would bring about transformation, not only within our own lives, but Lord, those that we journey with. Lord, we think of the prodigal sons and daughters that we continually pray for. We pray for people within our own families, our friends, our colleagues. Lord, we just pray that you would have your hand upon them. I pray your Holy Spirit would be just wrestling with inside them. And I pray for the day for them individually when they would just stop and acknowledge that you are Jesus Christ and that you too will be their Lord and Saviour. And they would accept you openly and willingly. And the whole heavenly anthem of the angels of heaven would rejoice aloud as we see your kingdom extending here upon earth. For Lord, we know that you want to reconcile all people to yourself. Lord, help us as gospel people to share in that, to journey with those, Lord, and to help point a way. But Lord, help us to understand that it is also your work to do that. Lord, we pray for this world that we live in today. We pray for this virus that's continuing to ravish many parts of the world, the increase in rates of infections, Lord, the people that are affected by it. Lord, we just pray that there's a calm, that there's a sense of peace upon people's hearts. We pray for the fear and the anxiety and the lies and the rumours to be washed aside, Lord, for your truth to be revealed. And we pray for healing. Lord, we think of the many things that are going on around the world at this moment where your peace is needed more than ever. We pray for the tensions in the Far East, in parts of Europe, where it seems that war may be inevitably about to break out. Lord, we pray for your wisdom upon the world leaders, that through talks and through humility, there would be peace. Lord, we pray for the people of Indonesia in particular, where another volcano has erupted and the lives that have been lost and the devastation and destruction that's been caused there. Lord, we even pray in our own country where the storm of the recent week has caused much devastation there. Would you help us, Lord, to make sense of all what is going on in these times, in the place we find ourselves? Help us, as we spoke of earlier, not to be stressed and worried and fearful about all things, but yet in all things, may we seek your peace. May we seek your understanding to make sense of what's going on. May we be your light in those dark places and in people's lives. May we share in abundance of your love to one another. And may we share in that hand of peace. Father, we pray for those that are closer to home, that are recovering, or Lord, maybe in hospital at the moment, have received recent treatment. But in all, Lord, we pray for that ongoing recovery. We pray, Lord, for a restoration in our bodies. We pray for the weakness to be replaced with your strength, for the doubts to be replaced by your encouragement. Lord, we just pray that you would just reach out to your people. May your presence be real and tangible. May we know that we are able to journey and encounter the risen Lord Jesus each and every day. But for now, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We just pray that as we go from here, we would be empowered and encouraged to carry on in the journey, in perseverance, in strength, but in truth, that we will indeed raise your holy name and see all your people come and gather in your name. We ask that now and forevermore. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we do thank you for this morning. We do pray that you take care this coming week, whatever you may be doing, wherever you may find yourselves, but find yourselves in the love and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go well and go safe. God bless.